I'll never forget the words that were spoken to me many, many years ago. I was a pastor at the time, and I got a phone call from a young single mum with two kids, and one of her youngest had just been rushed into hospital because they were having multiple seizures. When you get those kinds of phone calls, you kind of filter things in your mind, you know? It's like, is this a really important call? Is this a moderately serious call? Is this like an emergency? And I knew in this moment that this was a really important call. So I dropped everything. I made my way as quickly as I could to the hospital. I rushed into accident and emergency. I said I was here for this particular family. The woman who was on reception, she picked up the phone and she said these words, "The father's coming through." Now, I wasn't the father. I was sure of that. But you know what? Those words said something totally different to me. The father's coming through. And in that moment, faith rose up inside me, and I walked straight through into the room where the mother and child were. There was a sea of doctors and nurses around the bed, but when they saw me, it was like the Red Sea, and they parted. I walked straight to the bedside, and I had a boldness I maybe wouldn't normally have, because I knew the father was coming through for that child. I comforted the mother and I immediately started to pray. The child was monitored from that moment on. He had no more seizures that day or ever. It was a remarkable turnaround. I knew what had happened. The mother knew what had happened. Hopefully some of the doctors and nurses who were there also recognized that something had happened. The kingdom of God had broken in that moment. Today, I just simply want to encourage you to be a bit bolder. I needed to be a bit bolder that day. And maybe this week when you're talking to someone and they start telling you about their ailments or their struggles or their heaviness, maybe you could have the boldness to say, "Can I pray with you, not just for you? In fact, could I pray with you right now?" And at the end of the service today, we're just going to take a few minutes to begin to activate that muscle again. Maybe you'd appreciate some prayer because you're in a tough place. You've got some real health issues. But I also want to stretch all of us today to pray for healing and for freedom. The kingdom breaks in when heaven touches earth. Jesus did not only come with a message of return to the Father, have your sins forgiven. He also demonstrated the power of the kingdom and the new reality that we will be welcoming as the kingdom comes and is eventually fully brought in. We read that in Luke chapter 9 and verses 1 to 6. When Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Jesus took his closest group of people, his 12, he sent them out with power and authority to heal and to proclaim the good news. And what happened? They healed people everywhere they went. The kingdom of heaven touched earth through them, not just through Jesus, but also through the 12 disciples. But then we just need to turn from chapter 9 to chapter 10, and Jesus now widens the group. This is not something that is reserved for the Son of God, Jesus. It is not something that's just reserved for the apostles, this elite small group of followers of Jesus. It is now for all of us to be involved. We are all sent. We are all empowered. We're all authorized to pray for those who are ill and who need freedom. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal those who are ill and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. When the kingdom breaks in, sickness can lose its hold. Demons lose their authority over us. Captives are set free. And we get a little glimpse of the future reality that we will all experience in the full kingdom of God. Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's the future. That's what we have to look forward to. But thank the Lord, we get these glimpses where heaven breaks in to earth. The kingdom breaks in, and we experience that love, that freedom, that new reality. And let's face it, Scotland needs that reality. Maybe some of you read the recent news report. The National Records of Scotland issued data recently to say that the age of healthy life expectancy in Scotland is now 59 years of age. You live a lot longer than that, hopefully. The average around 83 or so. But the expectancy of healthy life has reduced to 59. Men are now not as healthy for 3 years of their life, and women are not as healthy for 4 years of their life. That's the decline that has taken place in the last 10 years. Scotland needs more healing and deliverance. So how does this kingdom break in? The kingdom, we are told, breaks in when it is announced. We have a good news to share. We want to encourage people back to Father God, to confess their sin, to be restored in the relationship with him. But Jesus also says the kingdom needs to be demonstrated as well. People need to experience the love and healing power of God. And Jesus has decided that comes through you. It comes through me. It's not something for the professionals to perform. Every single one of us is empowered to pray for those who are ill and who need set free, perhaps from a demonic power. So what holds us back? What holds me back? What holds you back, perhaps? I just want to suggest a few things this morning. The first one is a worldview of unbelief. And just to mention this picture that I put up there, if you've ever been to Prague, that is St. Charles Bridge across the river there, and there's all these statues to memorable Christian people. And on the left there is Vincent Ferrer, and on the right is Procopius. You can't see too clearly from that picture, but the guy on the left is standing on an empty coffin because he raises the dead. And he's also holding a Bible, and people are giving their lives to Christ. He is the proclaimer. And the one on the right, Procopius, has his foot on a chained-up demon. So here are two guys who are being honored, one for bringing many people to faith in Christ, and one for overcoming the power of the enemy. But maybe we don't have that kind of dramatic faith that these guys had. Maybe we operate often out of unbelief. Maybe you don't believe there's a need for spiritual healing anymore. We've made so many good advancements, haven't we, in medical science. And we value that, and we appreciate the fantastic health service that we have. But maybe you believe that healing prayer doesn't really happen anymore. And evil spirits, well, isn't that some kind of medieval superstition? Maybe your perspective is that, well, that was okay for then, but I'm not sure if it's okay for now. We've moved on, have we not? Or maybe you believe these things do happen, but they would never happen through you. Unbelief can hold us back. I got an unusual call one day. It was from someone in my church whose neighbor was terminally ill. They'd been declining for many months, and they were just in the final few days of their life. The woman had been raised in a Christian home in Shetland, but she drifted away from her faith. She knew she just had literally a few days left, and she, along with her husband, decided they wanted to get right with God. That was amazing. I visited her in the hospital, and it was clear she was very weak indeed. The doctors confirmed her condition, and we had permission for a special marriage license. We got a short notice marriage dispensation, which you can only get when people are terminally ill. We gathered in the hospital chaplaincy because she wasn't well enough to leave the hospital. She was brought in a wheelchair. She had an oxygen tank with her as well, and she couldn't speak properly. Her voice was so, so faint. A number of family had flown in from Shetland to be at this service, and they asked me a really unusual question, which I wasn't quite sure how to answer, and that was, shall we just stay for the funeral? Shall we just stay for the funeral? To be honest, I wasn't sure myself, because I knew she was going to die maybe that day or a couple of days later. And I wasn't sure because my faith was just tiny, tiny, that God might do something in that moment. But I led them in a prayer of confession. I married them, and then I simply prayed for her healing. Did she pass away shortly after? Did we rush through the funeral? No. That's what I expected would happen. But from that moment on, she started to improve. Her health got better. She came off her oxygen supply. She was released from hospital, and she lived for nearly another 2 years. She was given by God an extra blessing of life, a little glimpse of his favor. The kingdom broke in that moment. Did I have this enormous faith? No. Do I have an incredible gift of healing? No. And maybe that's how you feel too. But you know, all that God asks of us is that we would take that little seed of faith and plant it. Maybe you could pray with someone this week and ask that God would do something remarkable in their life. You see, Jesus healed and delivered on multiple occasions. He healed men and women and children. We read in Matthew 8 and verse 16, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. In Mark 1 and verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Or Luke 7 and 21, at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. Can we maybe today just stir up a little bit of faith in ourselves? Could you be perhaps bold this week and offer to pray with someone who needs that? So maybe unbelief can hold us back. Sometimes fear of failure can hold us back. It takes courage, it takes a risk to step out and say, "Can I pray for you? I trust that Jesus loves you and might in this moment break in and do something wonderful in your life. But I don't have the power. All I can do is have the trust." And that's a risky thing, isn't it? We're afraid that nothing might happen, that nothing will change for that person. Ed Silvoso, who has written a lot from his own experiences about moving and healing prayer, says, "Prayer is the most tangible trace of eternity in the person's heart. By praying for people in person, God touches their hearts through us." One of the greatest fears about praying in person for our non-Christian friends is that God will not answer. If we pray and God doesn't answer, then they will have even more reason not to come to faith. However, God seems to love answering prayers for those who have not yet come to faith. So don't let fear of failure hold you back. Or maybe disappointment might hold you back. Let's be honest today. I'm sure many of us here have prayed earnestly for folks who have been ill, folks who've been in addictions, folks who've been tormented, and we've not seen them healed or delivered. I've journeyed with many people through slow, torturous decline. And that's because, as we've been looking in this series on the kingdom, that we live between the now and the not yet. The kingdom's not fully here. We get these glimpses, we get these moments where God breaks in. But it doesn't always happen. I was once asked to visit a teenager who was in hospital, well, actually in hospice care, because she was also just in the last few days of her life. I didn't know her at the time. I didn't really know her condition. I didn't know whether she had days or months to live. I just knew that she was in a bad way. And when I went to visit her, I asked her the question, "What would you like me to do for you?" I don't quite know why I was so bold. But I just thought, I'll make an offer. And she came back and she said, "Would you come and visit me every single day until I die?" I was a busy guy. I had a lot on my plate. And I was thinking, I don't know how long she's got. Maybe it is just days. Maybe it's weeks. And so I just was honest with her and said, if I can, I will. And so for the next 10 days, I drove across Glasgow. Took me quite a long time to go there. But I tell you, it was more than worth it. We prayed together. We read the Bible together. We laughed together. We talked together. Those were a really precious 10 days in my life. And just the day before she died, because she wasn't healed, but you know what? Just the day before she died, she sat up and she said, I had a vision, an angelic visitation. And she described in incredible detail how these angels had come into her hospital room and given her such an overwhelming sense of peace and assurance that she was able to die with a tremendous peace in her heart. Not everyone is healed. But you know, when we pray for people, something happens. And maybe the prayer is not answered in the way that we hope, but God is still moving when we pray. And sometimes it's a lack of mentors. I don't know about you, but I grew up in a good churches, in an evangelical tradition. We believed in the Bible. We believed that Jesus healed the sick and set people free from the demonic. And we would pray for people who were sick. But it was kind of like a kind thing to do. I'm not sure how much we expected it to happen. And it always seemed to happen remotely. So we prayed for people on a Sunday who were not well enough to be in church. We prayed for people in our life groups who weren't well enough to be able to be there. There was something about praying for people at a distance. And we never seemed to pray with people side by side. Now, of course, there's a value in praying at a distance, and we've done that today. But it seemed to me like there was something missing. No one ever showed me how to pray with someone. And maybe that's been your experience too. And so we're hesitant. We don't quite know how to go about it or what to do. In my early Christian life, I used to read a lot of books, and I read a number by a pastor called David Watson, and he was a real inspiration to me. And just reading the stories and learning about his approach, then I too began to be more courageous and pray for people who were sick. And then a number of years later, I went to a conference at Crieff Hydro. It was 2 or 3 days of training for prayer ministry. And it was led by a guy called Francis McNutt, who'd written a great book called Healing. If you want to read it, it's still a great thing to read. And it was a wonderful few days. And the amazing thing for me was I was sitting at lunch next to this woman, and she introduced herself as Anne Watson. And I immediately made the connection. I said, oh, are you David's wife? And she was. The strange thing about David was, even though he'd had this incredible healing ministry and encouraged people to do the same thing, he himself died of cancer, aged only 50. But he left a great legacy. And it was a nice moment for me to be able to say thank you to her for the way he'd mentored me. But it was through a book. It wasn't side by side. We need to encourage each other, don't we? We need to simply be doing more so that we can learn together. We're just ordinary folks, but we have a supernatural God. And we need to help each other learn how to pray effectively. Or maybe it's the fear of the demonic. Just me actually mentioning that word or reading those passages about demons today, maybe it's got you a bit wobbly. I remember praying for someone at the end of a church service. There was nothing spectacular, and just as I was praying for him, he just said, "I don't want to go." And in that moment, I jumped out my skin. Well, not literally, but inside, I was aware of that demonic presence. "I don't want to go." It wasn't his voice. And we kept praying for him, and he was freed. But I had a wobble in that moment, because we're conscious in those moments of the powers, the spiritual powers. And there are evil spiritual powers in the world. But Jesus reassures his disciples. He says there in Luke chapter 10 and verse 3, "Even though I say go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." Jesus knew that it was a risky environment. He knew it was a tough spiritual landscape, but he was still willing to send out his disciples to go in the opposite spirit, to not be wolves attacking wolves, but to go as lambs, to go with gentleness, to go with grace, to go with respect. And then he goes on to say in verse 18, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Yeah, and we need to remind ourselves of that truth, that no demonic power can harm us. There was a guy visiting the zoo one day, and as he was walking past the enclosure where all the big cats were, he saw one of the staff members in the enclosure with one of the big cats, and he shouted, "You must be brave," you know. And the guy went, "Oh, no, I'm not brave." And he said, "Oh, well, the lion must be, it must be tame then." And he's like, no. "He's just old and he's got no teeth." And maybe that's kind of what it's like with a demonic, you know? He's just old and he's got no teeth. So let's not fear of the demonic hold us back, because we go in the power of the Spirit of Jesus. And then finally, not exercising our power and authority. I don't know about you, but when I don't exercise for a while, it takes me a lot to get going again. We lose that muscle power. And the same is true when it comes to praying. We need to exercise the power and authority that Jesus has given us. The apostles were sent. The 12 were sent. The 72 were sent. And you are also being sent by Jesus into the world. Can you imagine this week? If 50 of us or 100 of us offered to pray for someone this week out in the community, in our places of work, in our families, what an impact that would have. You have been given, I have been given, power and authority by Jesus to do that. But often, we just hold back on exercising that power and authority. I was amused by the story of Carolyn Turner. She used to drive a Ford Fiesta, but she was too afraid to use its full power. She never drove it more than 10 miles an hour. And on one occasion, she was chased by the police because it was dangerous how slowly she drove this car. The police chase went on for 27 miles. That's more than 2 hours that they chased her because she's only driving at 10 miles an hour. They couldn't figure out how to stop this person until finally a sensible police officer got out of the car, ran alongside her car, and knocked on the window. She was banned from driving for 12 months. Let's not be like that. Let's use the full power and authority that Jesus has given us. And so the kingdom of God breaks in. and it will break in through your prayers as you go. So let's pray with expectancy. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, Jesus said, he is sending us into a harvest field. He uses that metaphor, that picture language, for a culture that would fully have understood that. They didn't need to go and plow the field. They didn't need to go and sow the seed. They just needed to go into the harvest field and bring in the harvest. Perth is a harvest field. When we step out into Love Perth, we should expect there to be a harvest field. I want to encourage you to volunteer, to pray, to be willing to go out and pray for the people in Perth during that week. And let us pray with simple faith. Today we've not got into the mechanics of how to pray for the sick or how to pray for those who are in demonic oppression. But the way Jesus presents it here is quite simple. Let's not overcomplicate it. He says, go to their house, bless their house, share their food, pray for the sick, set free those who are oppressed, as almost as like it's matter of fact. You can do it. We can do it together. And then finally, the kingdom of God breaks in. And when it does, there is joy. We're told in these two stories in Luke 9 and Luke 10 how the disciples came back to Jesus and they were just buzzing. They were bursting with joy to tell him what had happened and how people had been healed and set free. Luke 10 and verse 17 to 21, it says there in verse 21, at that time Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. We need to become children again and just simply offer to pray for folks. And when we do, we'll experience joy, and so will Jesus. That's the only place in the New Testament where it says that Jesus rejoiced. It uses that specific word. We're going to pray together now. I want to encourage you to be bold, not just today, but this week as you pray. And I trust that as you step out in faith, you too will know that you put joy on the face of Jesus, and maybe too you will experience some of that joy yourself. Let's stand all together. Let's stand. We're just going to take a couple of minutes to pray for one another. If you are sick today, if you are ill today, if you've got something you're struggling with in your body today, I just want to invite you to sit where you are if you're willing to receive some brief healing prayer. So if you're feeling unwell today, if you're sick and you'd like some prayer, just sit where you are just now. Just sit where you are just now if you'd like folks to pray for you. Don't hesitate. Just sit down. Yeah, just take a moment. If you'd appreciate prayer this morning, just sit where you are. All I'm going to do is invite the people near around you just to lay a hand on you and pray for your healing. Okay. And can I then invite the people who are around those folks who are sitting just to gather round and just lay a hand on their shoulder. Just get two or three folks around everybody. Make sure everybody who's sitting down is covered. Yeah, that's great. Okay. Father God, we simply ask now that as we pray for these folks, that you would come and the kingdom would break in from heaven to earth. That you would release life and healing and love and peace. That through our simple prayers, that you would bring a change. And just as we sing now, I just want to invite those who are around those individuals, can you just pray out loud where you are for that person and invite the Holy Spirit to release healing into their body, into their mind, into their spirit, just as the rest of us worship together.